This sermon is by the Reverend J. Christie Ramsey, pastor of Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church in Akron, Ohio, recorded at the church's classic worship service held Sunday mornings at 9. May you be blessed to be a blessing.
Everyone's angry. That's what was told to me when I was meeting with a person talking about life and the world and everything. Everyone's angry. I want to talk about anger today. I want to talk about peace. I want to talk about God's vision for the world and how anger does not bring it about. I chose for the front of the bulletin and the title, Angry Birds in the Manger. Now, some of you may not have a smartphone, a phone connected to the internet that has applications, programs on it. Maybe one or two out there. I don't ask you to raise your hand. But the number one game, cross-platform, whether it's the iPhone you may have heard of, or the Android, or the Samsung, or any of the Palm even, whatever phone you got, number one game is Angry Birds. Angry Birds. They even have a seasonal edition for Christmas and a little advent calendar that each day opens up a new Angry Bird game. In this game, the birds are angry. That's the whole understanding of the game. They're angry at pigs. They have these eggs, being birds, and the pigs, being pigs, came and stole them. And so the idea of the game is you got to go and destroy the pigs by shooting birds at them with a gigantic slingshot. And the birds, they do different things, and hilarity ensues and all sorts of fun. Angry Birds is the number one game among our young people. The most popular pastime is to be angry with those who have stolen what should have been ours. The number one thing that resonates with the conscience of America today, the number one time that when we can choose what we do with our pastime, we want to spend it aligning ourselves with anger. Anger at things that we thought we had. Things that we work for, things that we wanted, things that belong to us, things that are rightfully ours, taken away by them pigs. And what is the game? The game is destruction. The entire game is about destroying everything the pigs ever build. They're not especially handsome creatures, but their buildings are quite amazing. And your job in this game is to be angry enough to knock down and destroy and kill them all. And when you do, you win. And do you know what you win? Yeah, you get back them eggs. But when you click on the eggs, there's more things to destroy. The reward of being angry and destroying everything is to have more things to be angry about and destroy. You don't get your eggs back. You just get more anger. Contrast this with Isaiah's vision, with Isaiah's call of what should be going on in society, of what we should be concerning ourselves when there is injustice, when the poor are trampled upon, when things are not going right. What should we be doing? The first part of Isaiah, the first half of our reading today, talks about righteousness, about fear and knowledge of God, about a king that has wisdom and understanding and counsel and might, that judges rightly, does not judge, does not rule, does not follow what the eyes see or the ears hear, doesn't listen to the polls, doesn't listen to popular opinion, doesn't watch out for himself, but is blind justice and deaf to the whispers of lobbyists of whatever age, and knows only the righteousness of God. Not anger, not destruction. Because we see what happens when such a king is there, when such a king enforces justice and fairness, when such a king pleads and works for the poor, when such a king does a judgment as a civil court does a judgment and says, in the best case, I make my judgment, this belongs to you, that belongs to them, and this is how you're going to get along together. That kind of judgment from the Lord redeems all of creation. The things that are natural enemies, the things that carry and destroy one another, the things that devour one another, the things that are angry with one another, live in peace and safety. Isaiah is good news. Romans is good news. Good news that God is for peace. God is for justice. God is for the poor. God is for the meek. God is for equality. God is for fairness. God is for the good of humanity. God is for even the redeeming of all creation. This is all good news. But we hear it as bad. Because where does our anger go? We want to be angry. We want to go kill some pigs. We want to destroy things and feel better about ourselves until everything is destroyed and we win by getting something that we can destroy that we thought we were working to preserve. Not many of you may have smartphones or internet. I don't think I'm going to get any World War I veterans here. Anyone? Anyone? No? Okay. The very first year of World War I in Flanders Field, perhaps you've heard that, that's very popular on Veterans Day, and there's poems about Flanders Field. It was a place of great and immense death. I mean, World War II may be in our memory, Korea, Vietnam, all horrible and horrific and awful. You have Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, all these things that come into us, we say, oh, what awful. World War I was horrible. It was a war to end our war. Why? Because it was so horrible, no one could imagine we would ever do that again. Millions died. Horrible, awful, poison gas was there. Trench warfare, that if the bayonets didn't kill you, the trench will. It was hell. The first year of the war, they thought it would go over pretty quickly, and it didn't. The Pope called for a Christmas truce and said, be at peace for Christmas. It was rejected. Out of hand. We're at war. We're angry. We're killing. We're about this. What are you talking about? But those Germans, those crazy Germans, in World War I, shipped Christmas trees to the front lines, to the trenches. Now, back then, warfare was personal. None of these drones that you fly from halfway across the world. You were 60 yards away, less than a football field from the other people that were trying to kill you. And the man and the forces in the four Allied forces looked out over Christmas, and he saw Christmas trees going up with little lighted candles on them in the trenches. And they shot a couple of them. I mean, that's what you do in war. But then they quit. They say, why are we shooting Christmas trees? And then they heard singing. Heard carols. They didn't know the words. They were in German, of course, but they knew the tune of such classics as Silent Night. And they joined in the singing. And after a while, they came closer to hear the singing and to see the Christmas tree. And they came out of their trenches And they exchanged gifts that they had gotten from home, and the food, that care packages coming across from both sides, and they made themselves known. They shared some smoke and tobacco, a little bit of rum, a little alcohol, and this went on for a week. They even have a soccer game recorded, a football game. The Germans won. It ended on New Year's when the military commander said that they better get back in their trenches and start killing each other, or they'll be court-martialed. And they sadly shook each other's hand and wished each other well and went back to the trenches and tried to kill each other. The war went on for years after that. 8 million died. I think it's what this proved. One of the things this thing proved is that waging peace is a lot harder than waging war. It's possible, but oh, it's so hard to do. So many forces that want us to be angry birds at the manger of Christ, even, instead of in peace with all of creation. Well, that was a long time ago. What about lately? Bill Clinton has conferences at his institute and his annual meeting. One of the things that he had was an annual meeting this year was about for the Arab and Israelis. Now, you talk about some angry birds. You got some angry birds there. And he brought in, and one of the persons that he came in was Shimon Peres, the president of Israel, an old, old freedom fighter, terrorist, take your pick, pick your sides, take your term. He was there on the panel, and President Clinton said, you know, another member of my family is working on where to draw the line. And I don't want to do that today. What I want to talk about is how is peace going to work after it's done? What is the peaceable kingdom? What does it look like? How would we live? How would we be? Shimon Peres says this, among other things he said. It's about an hour-long conference. But in one part, when asked about how are we going to live at peace, he said, in Israel, 20% of our citizens are Arabs. And it's not simple. For them, for us, except for one place. There is no hospital in Israel where you don't have Arab doctors and Arab patients. And nobody knows. Not of the patients, not of the doctors who is operating on that. I mean, if a Jew would see an Arab with a knife coming close to him, he would be alarmed. But not in the hospital. And I ask myself, if we can live in peace in hospitals, why can't we live in peace out of hospitals? Angry is easy. War is tempting. Peace is difficult, but peace is promised. Work, take advantage of this Christmas season, of this time when people are a little more open to hope and joy and peace and promise, to extend the peace of Christ to all people. Don't be an angry bird. Be a peaceful follower of Christ. Amen.